This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Scott Winship of the American Enterprise Institute, publishing statistics that are very difficult to ignore because Scott has found a mystery that needs to be explained by other voices, but we're going to point to it. That is, like the universe, it was expanding at a rate and then it accelerated. How did that happen? Why did that happen? Because what I learned from Scott is that between 73 and 89, earnings for young men, let's take one category, young men getting out of college, were poorly. And that drags down the overall number of the 50 years. But since 89, they've been accelerating like a SpaceX booster. And therefore, the generality that they're worse off than they used to be is not based on facts. It's based on sentiment. Now, Scott, there is one other possibility here. Immigration. Can you eliminate immigration as an explanation for the men earning poorly?
Yeah, I think you can, mostly because, you know, the timing doesn't work out in the same way that the timing doesn't work out for the China shock. You know, you've had rising immigration from Mexico and Latin America over 50 years for sure. But, you know, it ramps up a lot more in the 1990s and thereafter. And again, like, it just is inconsistent with the period that was the worst for young men in particular, which was before all of that accelerated. In the paper, I sort of, as an aside, also look at, you know, what happens if you divide the population into native born Americans versus foreign born Americans. And you see, again, you know, for both groups, actually, you see stronger gains than when you group them all together. If you're increasing the number of lower earning migrants over time, that's going to tend to, you know, be a weight pulling down earnings growth over time. But when you separate out native-born workers from foreign-born workers, both groups have seen impressive gains over those 50 years. So, yeah, I think, you know, there are a lot of reasons to maybe be concerned about rising immigration. I think the idea that it's been the main thing or an important thing that has hurt earnings growth for native-born workers in the U.S., just doesn't seem to be a lot of evidence there, just in terms of the time trends.
Another possibility, cultural, is that the reason we're not doing well is the women took our jobs, or the women are being paid more than us, or they're hired because they're female and I didn't have a place at the table because I'm male. That you understood it. I'm speaking generally. What your information demonstrates is that the reason women's numbers are higher than males is because a number of them were coming from zero. They were called homemakers. I think we should have a statue of the last homemaker in America because I don't know any. Do you, Scott?
Yeah, no, I think that's a really fascinating part of the story. And again, you know, just like immigration, there may be reasons, you know, that a lot of social conservatives might be concerned about how many dual earner families we have, yada, yada. But it, you know, it's just indisputable that the opportunities, the professional opportunities that women have today are, you know, much greater than they had 50 years ago. You hear a narrative a lot, usually, I think, from the left, you know, that, well, you know, maybe family incomes have gone up, but that's really just because there were a bunch of wives who sort of, because of economic distress, you know, their husbands doing badly, they were kind of forced into the workforce to add a second income. And that was the only thing keeping their boats afloat. And I don't think that the evidence, you know, is consistent with that at all. You know, for start with the fact that men's earnings were not falling, they were rising. And so, you know, the typical middle class family actually did not see a situation where there was increasing stress on women to join the workforce. You can look at trends in women's educational attainment over time, which have been steadily up to the point where, you know, they're exceeding men, you know, in most degree programs. You know, they weren't doing that to get the MRS degree like they were maybe in the 1950s. They're doing that because they want to enjoy professional opportunities. they're doing that because marriage as an institution has declined, and women increasingly have to kind of take the viewpoint that, like, you know, even if I wanted a male breadwinner, the chances that that's going to be successful are less than they used to be. And I've got to prepare for a world where I might need to take care of myself. So there are all of these societal forces that are encouraging women to work more, including, you know, just their sort of own intrinsic values and wanting to have professional careers. And again, you know, you think, did this hurt men? It certainly didn't show up as declines in their earnings. You might be able to argue, I guess, that their earnings growth might have been faster. I think if that's your argument, it's a little bit of a tough one, because, you know, as more and more women entered the workforce, that also increased demand for all sorts of goods and services, which would have increased demand for jobs that a lot of men were able to fill. The biggest, I think, part of that story that feels a little true to me is that there was this period before 1973, before 50 years ago, where maybe we kind of all did agree that that married women shouldn't work and that a man should be able to raise a family on one income. And so there was kind of this consensus that, like, maybe we'll pay men a little bit more than actually their value to their employer. And obviously, to the extent there was any of that sort of logic, that goes away as soon as women, you know, become equally competitive with men in the labor force.
Right. And the Mad Men become a Netflix hit. OK, let's get to the mystery. Let's get to the mystery. 1973, 1989, 16 years.
Yep.
It was a wasteland. That's the problem right there. And that's not China. That's not immigration. That's not women working. That's not college education. That is the recession of 74 and the recession of 83. Does that do it?
Yeah, I think that's right. And more generally, stagflation, you know, the recessions on top of the really bad inflation that you had until Paul Volcker threw the country into the early 1980s recession, to because it was the last ditch effort to get inflation down. But yeah, you combine high unemployment and very high inflation, the likes of which basically nobody under 70, you know, had known until 2022. That's a bad combination.
And I came out of college into that workforce in 1970, 71. And it got continually more difficult to hold a good job into the recession of 74. There's a lot of politics here. I'm not leaving them out on purpose. There's just so much to debate. But we're talking about a dynamic period that is unique that we haven't seen again since 89. Nothing matches that decline of those 16 years similarly since 89 to now. There's no comparable example. Is that correct, Scott? We have about 30 seconds.
Yeah, I think that's right. The Great Recession in 2008, you know, was pretty sharp, and it took a while to climb out of it. But we had a much stronger safety net then, for better or for worse, in some ways. And the impact on families was actually quite a bit less than it was in the 1970s and early 1980s.
Scott Winship of the American Enterprise Institute, delivering good news that you might not be ready for. We're better off than we used to be.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.